Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight into the destiny, the call, the purpose that God has predestined us for, preordained our lives for before the foundations of the earth. In this 15-minute empowerment, you are going to be encouraged in your walk of faith, in your process, even in the things that you're going through, to know that you're headed in the direction of purpose and the will of God, that as you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as you allow the Word of God to be materialized and manifested in your daily life, your daily walk of obedience, trust, and faith, you become the life, the light. You become that which is able to strengthen someone else. You become the authority that is able to take dominion and power over things. You become that vessel that God can use to manifest his glory in, that someone else will be encouraged by, someone else will be led to Jesus by, someone else will hold on to their confession of faith, all because of you allowing your obedient trust of God to make you and prove you and refine you into the vessel that God can always use for his glory and get glory out of. We have been looking and studying unlikely places of blessing. These unlikely places of blessing are places or areas in our lives where we find ourselves and it does not look or appear that God can get us out. It almost appears hopeless, that we know that we have hope in Jesus and our hope is not in vain. But the circumstances can sometimes talk or try to put up a facade that makes it look like we're in a place that we can never get out. But as you look and study people in the Bible, we see the process of what they've gone through and even see how God took unlikely places in their life and made it the miracle, the blessing, not only for them, but for other people and for the nation of Israel. We see this in the book of Esther, as God took her out of, as she was in exile, and we see the hand of God even in her life moving and putting her in a place of authority and her the rule of God in her life, not only blessing her, but blessing her cousin Mordecai and saving the nation of Israel and allowing God's authority to now sit in a governmental place in the king's house. We see it in the book of Joseph, with Joseph in Genesis, where God takes an unlikely place and blesses him beyond measure, sending him ahead of time to save many lives, to do the will of God, and to bless a kingdom that did not recognize or know God until Joseph showed up. And because Joseph showed up, everything around them began to flourish and grow and increase. And the Pharaoh himself became blessed by the God of Joseph. Even in the book of Genesis, looking at Jacob, we see that God blesses in an unlikely place with a character flaw, and God changes him, and his name is no longer Jacob, but becomes Israel. So we see that God can use unlikely places in our life, unlikely predicaments, even places that we are not even proud of, and he can use it, change it, and bless us for his glory. We're now studying First Samuel, and we're looking at the life of David. On this unlikely place of blessing is to prepare him for being a leader. So we're going to look at how God will take an unlikely place, someone that is not even qualified or not even called, and shape them and make them into a leader and do it for his glory. As we look at 1 Samuel 15, verses 10 through 36, 35, we want to see how God sets David up to be the next king that is going to be anointed. And it's through Saul's disobedience. There are places in our lives as we obey God, and sometimes we don't understand our obedience is the thing that God is going to use. Our trust is the thing that God is going to use and continues to qualify us for a position or a place or a title or even a door that someone else has forfeited because of their own disobedience to the will of God. So we see that Saul has now rejected the plan of God. He's rejected the purpose of God. He's rejected the instructions of God. And because of this, God has now begun the process of rejecting him as king over Israel. And in this verse, we're seeing here that God is speaking to Samuel, the prophet, who was sent by God to speak to the people, to let them know what his will is, his mind is, even his judgment. And so Samuel goes And he is the one who anoints Saul before he disobeys. He's the one that God uses to anoint him before he disobeys. So we get here, and God is speaking to Samuel about Saul, and he's telling him that he regrets ever making Saul king because he's turned his back on God, so to speak. He's turned his back on God's instruction. He's refused to do what God has told him to do, and he's not going to allow him to now be the king over his people because he's going to do things his way and not God's way. Saul followed his decision. He just followed the decisions of his own heart, of his own appetite, and even of the people. He did not follow through to what God was telling him to do. And it's dangerous when we think that half obedience to instructions are right. We have to always obey what God is saying and do it with our hearts and do it with faith, knowing that God knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And he knows exactly what he's doing when we don't understand it and we don't understand why he's doing it. We must follow the instructions of the Lord, knowing that he will make it all work together for good because his plan is perfect. He followed his own heart, his own will, his own desires. And when Samuel the prophet hears about this, he becomes angry and is very disappointed in Saul. And he begins to pray out all night long his complaints, his heart, his disappointment against Saul for his actions. And he gets up early in the morning to go confront Saul. But when he gets there, he finds out that Saul has gone to make a memorial, a monument for himself, to honor himself, because he's not honoring God. Even though he says he's making sacrifice for the victory that they've won, he's still not honoring God because he did not do it God's way. He did it his way. So the monument is really for him and not for God. And so when Samuel hears this, he goes and he finds Saul, and he finds him. And when he gets there, he sees that he's already finished the worship part of the service. He's done his worship part, and he's finished that. And as soon as Samuel sees Saul, he greets him, and he greets him with a false statement. He says to him, "Blessings to be unto him," and then he says, "I've done all that God has required of me," and that was not the truth. That was not the truth. His greeting said, "God bless you, and I applaud, and I have completed and accomplished all that God has said." And he did this still in himself being self-righteous, still being full of pride and arrogance, still in himself being haughty. He did this knowing that he had not followed the instructions, but he was justified in his own self to believe that what he had done was satisfactory unto God. And when he does this, Samuel confronts him. And the way he confronts him is to let him know, "You didn't please God. You did this openly in the eyes of God. You did it openly knowing that God sees you. You did it openly knowing that God knows all, and that you did it now saying that you fulfilled what he told you." And that's very dangerous, because not only is he walking in pride and haughtiness, but the spirit of deceit has seduced him to believe that he is justified in his actions and that God still will be pleased with anything that he does. And that is not true. God does not have to accept our sacrifices. He does not have to accept it if it is not done the right way. He does not have to accept worship or praise or giftings that are not done with the right heart and right motive and in faith. He does not have to accept them. And we believe, some people believe, that whatever they give God is good enough. That is not true. God is a holy God, and he's worthy of our best sacrifice, our best obedience, our best hope, our best faith. He's worthy of all of that and so much more. So whenever we disobey and then justify, we allow the enemy to come in, and we allow the enemy to now put a false sense of justification, of pride, of haughtiness in our life. And God does not honor that. He resists the proud. He resists. He does not even honor. He doesn't hear. He does not even come nigh people that are prideful and come pridefully in his presence. He wants you to be humble, because when you're humble, you can draw nigh to him. You can receive all of his blessings. You can get anything from him when you're humble and you're coming in faith with the right motives. God already knows anyway, so you might as well go ahead and tell him, I have the wrong attitude. Help me. I'm full of pride. Help me. I'm not doing what you said in obedience. Help me. When you do that, you're going to find help if you do it with the right heart. He's going to help you get where you need to get, but he's not going to do it fighting you. God never fights us. Everything we do must be totally submissive unto his will, unto his authority. So we see that when God looks at our obedience and he looks at our instruction, us following his instruction, there's a blessing to that. Because our obedience unto his will, saying we're trusting him to do what he says and trusting him to do what he's going to do. Samuel asked Saul a question. He says, what is it that I hear? And he's talking about the sheep and the cattle that he's hearing, bowing, and making all this noise in the background. And so Saul justifies his actions, and he blames the people. But it was him. In that same verse of 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, looking at 17 through 19, this is what he says. He says, Saul says, go ahead, tell me. And Samuel told him, when you started out in this, you were nothing and you knew nothing. Then God put you at the head of Israel, made you king over Israel. Then God sent you off to do a job for him, ordering you, go and put these sinners, the Amalekites, under a holy ban. Go to war against them until you've totally wiped them out. So why did you not obey God? Why did you grab all this loot? Why? With God's eyes on you all the time. Did you brazenly carry out this evil? Saul defended himself. What are you talking about? I did obey God. I did the job God sent for me to do. I brought the king, Agi, and destroyed the Amalekites under the terms of the holy ban so that the soldiers saved back a few choice sheep and cattle for a holy ban or for sacrifice to God and Gilgal. What's wrong with that? What was wrong with it was that that's not the orders or the instructions that God gave. The instructions were to destroy everything and not to take anything. He did not follow the instructions. He did what he wanted to do. And in doing that, he disobeyed God, but then he got arrogant and justified in what he did, as if he was doing God a favor. He was doing God a favor. And that is not the attitude that we need to use, because even though God uses us, he can also use someone else to do it. He can always get someone else to obey him who's willing to obey him. He can always move you out of the way and put someone else in your position so that what his will is will be carried out. He didn't see anything wrong with what he did. Samuel replied to him is in the 22nd and 23rd verse, and he says to him, he says, do you think all God wants is sacrifice, empty rituals just for show? He wants you to listen to him. Plain listen to the things, not stag a lavish religious production. Not doing what God tells you is far worse than fooling around within an occult. That's how bad this was. Being self-important around God is far worse than thinking than making deals with the dead and your dead ancestors, because you said no to God's command. He said no to your kingship. That's all the time we have today to go into this, and we'll go into it tomorrow, picking it up again and giving you more instructions and insight on this. I pray that you are being blessed by this and that you know that following the will of God is not for naught. God wants you to listen to him and obey his instructions. And as you do, you set yourself up for blessings. You set yourself up to be trusted by God and increased and enlarged. When you disobey, you're saying, I don't trust the way that you're taking me. I don't trust what you're doing in my life. I don't trust your hand over my life or your way. And that's not the way we need to be with God. I'm Pastor Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the Process of Dare. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And we'll be back tomorrow for another empowerment of Favor Life, the Process of Dare. God bless you.